Greetings, and welcome to the Profound Medical Corp. Full Year 2015 Financial Results Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. A brief question-and-answer session will follow the formal presentation. If anyone should require operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero on your telephone keypad. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. It is now my pleasure to introduce your host, Rashed Dewan, Interim Chief Financial Officer. Thank you. You may begin.
Thank you, Christine. Good morning, everyone. We'll start with our forward-looking disclaimer.
This conference call includes forward-looking statements regarding Profound and its business, which may include, but is not limited to, the expectations regarding the efficacy of Profound's technology in the treatment of prostate cancer. Often, but not always, forward-looking statements can be identified by the use of words such as plans, is, expected, expects, scheduled, intends, contemplates, anticipates, believes, proposes, or variations, including negative variations of such words and phrases, or state that certain actions, events, or results may, could, would, might, or will be taken, occur, or be achieved. Such statements are based on the current expectations of the management of each entity. The forward-looking events and circumstances discussed in this conference call may not occur by certain specified dates or at all, and could differ materially as a result of known and unknown risk factors and uncertainties affecting the company, including risks regarding the pharmaceutical industry, economic factors, the equity markets generally, and risks associated with growth and competition. Although Profound has attempted to identify important factors that could cause actual actions, events, or results to differ materially from those described in forward-looking statements, there may be other factors that cause actions, events, or results to differ from those anticipated, estimated, or intended. No forward-looking statement can be guaranteed. For more information on the risks, uncertainties, and assumptions that could cause Profound's actual results to differ from current expectations, please refer to the Risk Factors section of our 2015 Management's Discussion and Analysis, available at sedar.com and at profoundmedical.com. Except as required by applicable securities laws, forward-looking statements speak only as of the date on which they are made, and Profound undertakes no obligation to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statement, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise, other than as required by law. I will now turn the call over to Mr. Steve Pleinel.
Thank you, Rebecca. Good morning, everyone, and welcome. On behalf of the management team and employees of Profound Medical, we appreciate your interest in our company. And for those of you who are shareholders, thank you very much for your support. The agenda for today's call will start with the presentation of our year-end financial results for fiscal year 2015. And following that, I will discuss recent news, the outlook for our strategic initiatives, and progress on our milestones. After that, we'll be happy to take your questions. So for now, I'll turn the call over to Rashed with our financial overview.
Thank you, Steve, and good morning. I'd like to take a few moments to summarize our 2015 year-end results. Our research and development expenses are comprised of costs incurred in performing R&D activities, including salaries and benefits, clinical trial and related manufacturing costs, contract research costs, patent procurement costs, materials and supplies, and occupancy costs. Our R&D activities include internal and external activities associated with clinical studies of TULSA-PRO, with the goal of obtaining regulatory approval to manufacture and market this product in various jurisdictions. Expenditures for R&D for the year ended December 31, 2015 were higher by $2.8 million compared to the year ended December 31, 2014. The increase was primarily due to the activities in preparing regulatory filings for marketing approval of TULSA-PRO in Europe and Canada, preparation for the initiation of the multi-jurisdictional pivotal trial, and preparation of the 12-month clinical outcome from the 30-patient multi-jurisdictional TULSA Phase 1 safety and feasibility trial, which was completed in 2014. Preparations for the pivotal trial include organizing the IDE submissions and organizing the trial in up to 15 clinical sites. As a result, material costs increased by $2.2 million. The number of employees involved in R&D also increased in 2015 to support these activities, which resulted in an increase of $628,000 in salaries and benefits. These increases were offset by an increase of $133,000 in investment tax credits. Our general and administrative expenses are comprised of management and business development costs related to the development and commercialization of our Tulsa Pro system, including salaries and benefits, our various management and administrative support functions, and other operating and occupancy costs. G&A expenses for the year ended December 31, 2015 were higher by $4.1 million compared to the year ended December 31, 2014, primarily due to the marketing expense of $2.3 million related to the excess of proceeds received on the Knight loan, which represents additional value provided to the company as a result of the Knight relationship. The remaining increase was also due to the higher salaries and benefits of $884,000 and share-based compensation of $454,000. The number of employees in G&A was higher due to the hiring of a chief financial officer and other employees, the granting of compensation options, the payment of bonuses to certain employees upon completion of the private placement and the transaction, and an increase in the CEO salary. The professional and consulting fees in legal and accounting services also increased $161,000 as the company prepared for the private placement and the transaction. The company recorded a net loss for the year ended December 31, 2015 of $16.4 million, or 69 cents per common share, compared with a net loss of $8.2 million, or $3.79 per common share for the year ended December 31, 2014. For the year ended December 31, 2015, the net loss was attributed to the finance cost related to the listing expense of the transaction of $2.1 million, the loss on recognition of notes of $2.1 million, the interest and accretion expense of $5.6 million, largely related to accelerator of the accretion of the preferred shares at the time of their conversion to common shares, the ongoing R&D expense of $5.1 million, and the G&A expense of $6.1 million, which was partially offset by the gain in the value of the derivatives of $2.1 million and gain on conversion of the notes of $1.8 million. For the year ended December 31, 2014, the net loss was attributed to the ongoing finance costs related to the preferred shares and long-term debt. Loss in the fair value of derivatives of $1.7 million, the ongoing R&D expense of $2.3 million, and G&A expense of $2 million. As at December 31, 2015, Profound had cash, cash equivalent, and short-term investment of $20.5 million compared to $406,000 as of December 31, 2014. The increase is mainly a result of cash flows provided by financing and investing activities, which were partially offset by cash flows using operating activities. The cash flow provided by financing activities related principally to the issuance of the common shares in connection with the private placement for gross proceeds of $24 million, the $4 million proceeds from the Knight loan, and $1.5 million proceeds from the note issuance. The cash flow provided by investing activities relate to cash acquired as part of the transaction. As at March 1, 2016, Profound had an unlimited number of authorized common shares with 39,473,327 common shares issued and outstanding. I'll now turn the call back to Steve.
Thank you, Rashed, for that very thorough summary of our 2015 financial results. As we look back, 2015 was nothing short of a transformational year for Profound. We're pleased with our progress, and we're excited for the opportunity next year will bring. I'd like to summarize just a few of the highlights of our progress throughout the fiscal year and then discuss our most recent news. Early in 2015, the company decided to embark on a key financing to further fund our clinical strategy and our commercialization plan. On April 29th, the company announced the entering into a definitive agreement in respect of a going public transaction concurrent to that financing. By June, we had closed $28 million in financing and transitioned into a public entity traded on the Toronto Venture Exchange. In July, we announced a joint development agreement with Philips to support our proprietary Tulsa technology on the Philips platform of MRI scanners. In October, we noted our most significant clinical milestone to date with the formal presentation of our Phase 1 clinical trial results at the European Symposium on Focused Ultrasound Therapy in London, England. As you may remember, we presented 12-month follow-up data which demonstrated that MRI-guided TULSA provides accurate treatment planning, real-time thermal dosimetry, and precise control of prostate ablation to within 1.3 millimeters with a well-tolerated side effect profile. Subsequent to that meeting, we were pleased to see the results of this work accepted for publication in the premier journal, European Urology. In November, we saw some changes in our executive team with the addition of Hartmut Warnken as Vice President of International Sales and Rashed Dewan stepping in as interim CFO after the departure of Shamiz Rampertab, our former CFO. In November, we also received the prestigious honor of being named Life Sciences Company of the Year by Life Science Ontario, and just last week, we attended their annual gala to accept that award. So as you can see, 2015 was a year of great progress, significant change, and our expectations are set high for 2016. So now on that note, let me address our most recent news announced this week. On Monday, February 29th, Profound announced that it has entered into a strategic collaboration agreement with Siemens Healthcare. With this agreement, Siemens Healthcare has formalized its partnership with Profound. Once our CE mark is achieved, Siemens and Profound will actively work together to promote this technology to the installed base of Siemens customers. It should be noted that Siemens has a very large market share of the MR scanner market in Europe. Many of the world's top researchers and early adopters are using the Siemens MR platform to conduct leading-edge research in prostate cancer care. We are delighted to gain enhanced access to this very important group of potential customers. In terms of our progress on obtaining CE mark, Profound has now submitted its technical and clinical data package for review. We believe that we have supplied all of the required technical and clinical data for the submission process. It is not unusual for the notified body to have additional questions or requirements for additional information. The review process generally takes 6 to 8 weeks, and we hope to have news soon on the status of that submission. With respect to our plans for the pivotal clinical trial, we are making great progress. We are in the final stages of preparing the IDE submission. Over the last several months, we have been engaging all of the clinical sites that will be participating in the trial. And this last Saturday, we held our first investigators meeting in Toronto, where over 30 clinicians and related team members from all around the world assembled to review the plan and work on the trial. As many of you know, the last year has seen a significant change in the regulatory landscape for these ablative technologies. We are happy to report that we are now on a 510K regulatory path. Our clinical trial plan remains largely the same, but the regulatory path of a 510K will give us a much more straightforward and conventional path to pursue the clearance of our device. In order to support all this activity, the company plans to physically move into a new, larger facility to accommodate our needs of scaling up production of our capital equipment and also support the future growth of the company. We're excited about all of these plans as we push forward with a keen sense of urgency and drive. We look forward to getting our product into the hands of our clinical community and offering clinicians a new tool to be used in prostate cancer care. So with that, I'll be happy to take some questions.
Thank you. We will now be conducting a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you would like to remove your question from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. One moment, please, while we poll for questions. Thank you. Our first question comes from the line of Martin Landry with GMP Securities. Please proceed with your question.
Good morning. I wanted to get a little more details on your agreement with Siemens. I was wondering what exactly will be the role of Siemens in the commercialization process?
Hi, Martin. Thanks very much for that question. So the agreement with Siemens will be both a co-marketing and a co-selling agreement. We will become a formal accessory in their catalog. So that will allow them to sell a Tulsa Pro once we have CE mark, along with their scanner offering, along with an upgrade to their scanner package or independently. So we're delighted to have that partnership. We expect that we will be doing a good deal of co-marketing together. And in fact, as I take this call, I'm in Vienna at the European Congress of Radiology, where Siemens, in their major annual European conference, has Tulsa Pro front and center in their booth.
Okay, great. That's good news. And how are they going to be compensated? Is this going to be a portion of sales that they're going to get?
We've worked out as we will with other distributors, we'll work out a financial arrangement that will compensate them on a per sale basis. So they will be motivated to collaborate with us from a marketing and from a sales perspective.
And that agreement covers all of Europe and the U.S., I believe?
It is U.S. and Europe, that's correct.
Okay. Yeah. So given that Siemens is going to play a more of an active role in the commercialization process, do you still intend to build your own sales force to commercialize Tulsa Pro? What's your strategy?
Yeah, that's a really good question, and I appreciate you asking it because it'll allow me to clarify the significance of these relationships that we've signed strategically with MR vendors. As you know, our device is a device that has both a capital equipment component and a disposable component. And the area that we're talking about with both Siemens and other MR providers like Philips, for example, are really focused on the capital equipment sale in the MR environment. So we are using them to leverage access into a very important install base where the device is used. However, our focus on the direct sales force will be both on the capital equipment and then more importantly on the disposable channel, which is into urology. So I would note that Siemens and Philips as MR providers do not have a channel into the urology space, and therefore we are allowing to focus our time and attention on utilization in urology. So we think it's a very, very complementary relationship. I would also note that these relationships are non-exclusive and allow us to gain very rapid and broad access to the environments where our device will be used.
Okay. And have you started to build up your sales force yet, or is it too early?
Well, we certainly are getting started. We have HartMed Warnken is currently building that team as we speak. We also have begun to invest in the clinical applications team that will support sales. We have our first person there already on the application side. So we are pacing and ready to get started, and I think we'll be up to a full complement of sales and marketing folks very shortly.
Okay. And perhaps just on your manufacturing strategy, if you could expand a little bit on that, do you still expect to assemble the device yourself?
Yes, the new facility that I mentioned in my notes will allow us plenty of growth space to ramp up a full manufacturing capability for the capital equipment. We expect that will be more than adequate space for the foreseeable future as we are taking responsibility for that ourselves. We expect that to be accommodating us for quite a while.
So that's on the device, but what about the disposables? Are you using a third party there?
We are still using a third party. As you know, we had outsourced that very early so that we could perfect the manufacturing process and also have it scalable for sales. That remains the case today. However, we will be, in 2016, putting in a second source capability, and we'll be examining whether or not we take over primary responsibility for that disposable and second source with a third party or the other way around. So we're still looking at that, but we, for sure, by the end of 2016, will have full second source capability.
Okay. And maybe just lastly, on your pivotal trial, I see in your MD&A that you expect to commence it in mid-16. This seems a little bit later than what you had mentioned earlier. Are you behind plan on your pivotal trial?
We may be just a few short weeks behind. I think we are trying to reconcile the protocol for all the jurisdictions, and we're still dealing with all three jurisdictions independently, even though this will be done under the umbrella of an IDE. And certainly first and foremost is making sure we have a final approval on the IDE from the FDA. But we'll also be getting respective approvals from Health Canada, and our sites in Europe will be covered under the CE mark. So I don't expect to be too concerned about whether or not we can pull that in, but we expect to be starting the trial with our first patient being enrolled in Canada and then rolling out the trial from there.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks, Martin.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from the line of Brian Gagnon with Gagnon Securities. Please proceed with your question.
Good morning, gentlemen. Can you give us a little idea on when you get the CE mark, what do you see the pricing of the capital equipment and the pricing of the disposables look like?
You know, Brian, we're still working on that in terms of finalizing the end-user pricing versus the pricing we've already set up between our distributors. So I can't say I have the final numbers for you today, but we are going to make sure that we are competitive both with sites that are working with us already from a clinical perspective that will have some incentive to convert their clinical systems to commercial systems, and there'll be an incentive for those sites to do that, and those are the first sites that we'll be focused on as we already have existing relationships with them. And then there'll be some sites that will come both from Philips and Siemens from their early marketing that they'll be doing. So as we don't have CE mark yet, we really aren't discussing the details of pricing or anything in that level of detail, but expect as soon as we have CE mark to be able to do that.
Okay. How many salespeople do you think you guys will get for Europe at this point?
I think Europe will be 5. I think that will be complemented by applications people who will also be working and embedded in the sites and focusing on the utilization of the disposable. We have a lot of interest in Germany, and our main focus will be starting in that country. But we also have interest in the UK, Spain, and Netherlands. And these are sites that have expressed both interest in working as clinical partners and commercial sites. So I think the 5 will be able to handle that rough geography for now. We are attending EAU in 2 weeks and expect to be looking at potential distribution relationships both within Europe and beyond in other CE-compatible jurisdictions.
Okay. So let's turn our attention to the FDA trial. How many centers do you think you'll have when you start the trial?
We have 12 centers in the queue already to go. We have room for 3 more. The reason we might light up 3 more sites would be to ensure that we don't lose any time on the enrollment. Our goal is to try to enroll all of these patients before the end of this year so that we can make sure we present that data in a timely way to the FDA. So we have an option to go as high as 15. I'm not sure it'll go that far, but we'll be lighting these sites up one by one, starting with Canada, moving to Europe, and then ultimately into the U.S.
Have you started the IRB review process at the centers that you already have?
The IRB process has been started in virtually every single site, and we also have clinical trial contracts ready to go. We're really just waiting for that IDE approval in order for those IRBs to light up. Most of the IRBs have a fast-track process, and we expect many of them to turn over within 30 days. So we will be ready to go with the teams by then to start treating patients as soon as that happens.
That's terrific. So you got non-exclusivity with Siemens. One, how did you get that done in this environment? And do you see the Philips relationship also expanding into something similar to the Siemens deal?
We believe that both of these MR manufacturers see the benefit of our technology being a perfect complement to their image-guided therapy strategies. Both Siemens and Philips have said from the podium that they believe image-guided therapy will be expanding and, in fact, becoming for certain clinical applications such as treatment of prostate, this would be the way to do it. We're non-exclusive, and we are able to get Siemens and Philips to sign these agreements because we are proprietary. There isn't anyone else who can offer this therapy except Profound at this time, and as such, we want to work with both providers and access their install base of customers, which in Europe happens to be quite large.
Terrific. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Brian.
Our next question comes from the line of David Martin with Bloom Burton. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, thanks for taking my questions. First question I have is, you mentioned in Europe that you expect some of your clinical sites may become commercial sites. I'm wondering, is your expectation that you will get additional sales on top of those sites even before the pivotal study is finished in North America? Or do you think you'll need that pivotal study to really roll the technology out in Europe?
The short answer is I do expect to have other commercial sites ramping up very quickly right after CE mark. So I don't believe we will not see, I think, a major gap. I think we have built up a huge amount of interest with commercial sites as well that want access to this technology. Many of the, and just a side point, many of the sites that we have talked to at our industry conferences have talked to us about their interest in Tulsa. Many of them are experienced customers with HIFU and feel that this is a very unique and perhaps even favorable alternative and are anxious to get their hands on the technology. So I am very confident, David, that we will see a commercial interest right out of the gate as soon as the CE mark comes.
Okay. Second question is, how do you think the system will be used before the pivotal studies finished? Will they be ablating to the edge of the capsule, or do you think they'll be leaving a safety margin like you did in your initial study?
You know, even with the current version of our device, the tool will have very specific labeling indications that will be finalized on the CE mark. So I really can't speak to the specifics of how the clinicians will use it otherwise, other than noting that they will be trained to follow the label and the indications for use as we finalize that with the notified body. Notwithstanding that, the device, even in our phase one study, had the ability to pull in around the nerves and around other structures to be very conservative. As you know, we did a sub whole gland, and we expect that there will be some doctors who will want to treat patients focally and some doctors who will want to treat patients whole gland right to the capsule, and our intention is to provide them with a tool that can be used to do both.
Okay. You mentioned HIFU. How many HIFU systems are out there in Europe right now?
David, I don't have a firm number of that in my own head right now. One of the companies, as you know, is a private company, and we have very little access to verified install base data. We see them certainly in our travels, but off the top of my head, I don't have a firm number for you.
Is it a pretty popular method in Europe or not so popular?
No, it's still, and for the most part, considered to be an experimental procedure, and has never really gained full traction as a standard of care.
Okay. Last question. MRIs have historically been sold as diagnostic imaging devices. Does a suite have to be set up differently to do a procedure guided by MRI, and how many of the MRI systems that are sold by Philips and Siemens each year go into suites that could be used for procedures?
I would tell you that my opinion is that all new 3T scanners going in these days are outfitted for image-guided therapy. And most of the upgrades that are taking place are also upgrading their suites to accommodate this therapy, which generally means they need to have the ability to have oxygen suction and the ability to deal with adverse events. So they have to have the ability to have patients into an area where they can be accessed and be cared for in an emergency. It looks to me like more and more of the MR suites are upgrading to accommodate that as these applications are being proliferated for therapeutic purposes, not just diagnostic. And so certainly all of the major institutions we've looked at are routinely doing these procedures already with patients in anesthesia.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Mr. Plymell, it appears we have no further questions at this time. I would now like to turn the floor back over to you for closing comments.
Thank you, operator. I appreciate everybody's participation today. We are very excited about what 2016 will bring. We expect that there'll be lots of news flowing shortly, and we'll keep you all posted. And again, I just want a moment to thank everybody for your participation, and we'll see you again soon.